USA Today recently ran a list of the 101 most influential people who never lived. It was an interesting list, containing people like Barbie and Santa Claus. But who topped the list? The Marlboro Man. The Marlboro Man ad campaign is legend in the marketing world. Only 1 year after launching the campaign in 1955, Marlboro's sales jumped 3,241%. Marlboro is now the best-selling cigarette in the world. Three cheers for the power of advertising. Boz Temple Morris knows a thing or two about marketing tobacco. He was co-founder and marketing director of the Enlightened Tobacco Company, makers of Death cigarettes. Yeah, his cigarettes were called Death. And with billboard slogans like, "They're every bit as good as other cigarettes," and "Every bit as bad," and "Smoking kills, so why not choose Death?" He wasn't doing things exactly the big tobacco way. Boz Temple Morris talked about his tobacco days with Steve Paulson.
It's one of those things which is very, very connected to a lot of people's lives, but the debate around it was always skewed by the fact that the manufacturers and the government agencies were really never telling the whole truth about it. So it seemed to me that there was room, when I say room, there was a gaping hole in the market for someone to come along and say, yes, of course these things will kill you. They're addictive. They'll give you any number of horrible diseases. And that as a consumer of this product, you need to know that.
So here you were, a kid just out of college who starts a new company with a great name, I have to say, the Enlightened Tobacco Company.
Mm.
Now, was this a joke or were you serious about this?
No, we were very serious. The Enlightened Tobacco Company idea was, again, something which struck me as obvious, which is, you know, I was not a businessman. I wasn't familiar with the world of business. I mean, I became so during the course of it. But the Enlightened bit was based on this. For example, we as a tobacco company gave 10% of the profits to cancer research. Now, this was not because we were being nice guys. This was what we considered to be an enlightened form of capitalism, whereby we construct a situation whereby everybody wins in that. The smokers need the benefits of cancer research. Cancer research need the money. We need the customers for our cigarettes. So in that sense, you're setting up a situation which, whilst it might sort of look to be strange, is actually perfectly obvious. I mean, in the same way that it makes perfect sense for car manufacturers to be involved in public transport.
Well, we should also say that you came up with a rather ingenious name for your product, Death Cigarettes.
Well, what else could you call them? I mean, it's very clear. Cigarettes kill you. That's the one thing. I suppose there's another side to this, which is that the anti-smoking lobby were and are still absolutely rampant in trying to curtail people's freedoms, put around manipulated statistics and lie on a monumental level. And there was really nobody fighting them in any realistic way. And the few that were fighting them, being the tobacco industry, were also equally manipulating statistics and not telling the truth, etc. So it was really a sort of a bid for some kind of common sense in this thing, which was to say, cigarettes kill you, yet I believe they should be a legally available product. So if you accept that they are going to be legal, that within an educated marketplace they should be available, you have to arrive at a way to sell them, which is appropriate.
You had a rather ingenious way of marketing these cigarettes. I don't know if you were being intentionally coy or not, but your packaging. Well, tell me what a pack of Death cigarettes looked like.
Well, it was a black pack with a white skull and crossbones on them, and they carried the normal standard health warnings. And then on the other side, we added our own health warning, which was the manufacturer's advice, which said something along the lines of, smoking is addictive and debilitating. If you don't smoke, don't start. If you smoke, quit. And then on the back, there was a short bit of text that explained our position on smoking.
Well, then you took it one step further. You said, in effect, smoking kills you, so smoke death, death being the name of your cigarettes.
Well, I think, no, what we were saying was, whatever you're smoking death. What we were saying, and I think we said it in so many words on the pack, all cigarettes are death cigarettes.
Basically, this is all about honesty in marketing. I mean, you're saying cigarettes kill. Let's be upfront about it. Let's still sell them. Let's try to make money, but let's tell people that cigarettes kill. And sort of the genius of your marketing is that, you know, you put that right on the pack. And I could imagine that for at least some people, it would be pretty cool to be smoking death cigarettes, to have this, you know, this pack in front of you with a skull and crossbones, you know, that says very upfront, you know, smoke, it'll kill you. It'll, you know, smoke death. Did that work?
Well, I don't know about work, because it wasn't our intention as such. It wasn't about being cool. It was about being truthful. And if that is cool, then fantastic. Yeah, clearly there's an issue there, which is, I mean, I don't know whether if this is what you're getting at, but there is an issue there, which is to do with young people, which I did have to think about quite a lot, which is to say, is this disproportionately attractive to young people? Is this going to make anyone smoke who would not otherwise smoke? And basically where I came out on that was to say, well, actually, if a young person is going to smoke and is going to smoke a pack of these, I'd far rather that they were associating smoking with death than that if they were associating smoking with being a cowboy or, you know, hanging around in a jungle fighting crocodiles or, you know, the all of the other kind of big images that were around and still are in relation to smoking.
Have any other tobacco companies done what you did? I mean, be very upfront about the health risks here and to say that openly in their marketing?
No. If the tobacco industry worked like other industries, in other words, if there was innovation, if there were small companies, if there were lots of companies in that business, I'm sure somebody would do it. But the truth of it is that there are very, very, very few companies who operate in that business as manufacturers. They operate in an extremely closed world, which is very closely connected to government. And that
it's closely connected to government because government gets such high kickbacks through taxes?
Yes. If you run a tobacco company, what you do is you collect tax. That's your business. You collect tax and you get to keep a tiny little bit of it, which in volume terms, if you have the kind of market share that these guys have, that tiny little bit added together is a huge, 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 huge amount of cash. But fundamentally, I think 86% of the retail cost of a packet of cigarettes goes straight to the government. So you are a tax collector.
There's one other question I have to ask you. Do you still smoke?
No. Well, occasionally.
So why did you more or less give it up?
Well, I'll tell you what my personal view of smoking, which I've always been my view really, is that for me, anything which is potentially damaging to your health, it's a balance of risk and reward. There are things I do that are not great for my health. And if I do something that's not great for my health, it's because the reward I get from it outweighs the risk of doing it. So, you know, if that means some kind of dangerous sport or if that means food that is fatty or something or other, you know, there's all these fantastic things that aren't good for you. You balance the risk with the reward. And the risk involved in cigarette smoking does not outweigh the reward. Hence, it's not a good idea to smoke.
And yet, at one point, you ran a tobacco company selling this stuff that killed people.
Yes. If I were to go, oh, no, cigarettes are bad, so I won't have anything to do with that. All you're effectively doing is leaving the status quo alone. You're leaving the governments to behave in the way that they do, for the tobacco companies to behave in the way that they do. To really challenge them, the most powerful way you can challenge them is through the marketplace. There's a lot of people trying to challenge them on other levels, and no one's got anywhere near them. I mean, nowhere near them. You know, we made them sweat a little bit, but, I mean, ultimately, we didn't get that near them either.
Boz Temple Morris was co-founder and marketing director of the Enlightened Tobacco Company, makers of Death Cigarettes. In 1993, when the company was launched, Death Cigarettes saw great success. One of the reasons for this success was that the Enlightened Tobacco Company found a complicated tax loophole that allowed Death cigarettes to be sold at a lower price. By 1995, the Enlightened Tobacco Company was fighting a court case with 12 governments, the European Commission, Her Majesty's Customs, and Imperial Tobacco. The Enlightened Tobacco Company lost the court case, and Death cigarettes were taken off the market in 1996.